Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
888-808-1019 is the number. Evan Atiki coming up next at 2. So obviously, a lot of Knicks, although we've kind of moved into some of the baseball stuff as well. Less about Luke Weaver, though you could certainly react to that. 2 years to the Mets. Have fun with that, Met fans. But more about the Bellinger stuff, where there's a lot of signals that the Mets are serious. And, hey, you could have Weaver, but you know, you can't have Bellinger. Like, how can't allow that to happen? Unless the Mets were to go to a seventh year, which I would say, you know what, take them. Eight, that would be stupid. But if it's for the 6 years that is now basically the gist of most reports, you got to step up and you got to keep him in the Bronx. He already fits. And that would be embarrassing. So that's where we are. And let's get back to you guys. Coco in Manhattan on the Fan with BT. What's up, Coco? Coco.
Hey, BT.
Hey.
I'm not going to say I'm sad because I know, you know, you will make it wherever you go. And because you're just great. And you and Fowler are just great together. And you talk about the power for radio. Radio is really powerful. I never met Dove, but when I heard you had that incident, I think it was a heart attack. So
yeah.
Bring it up,
yeah.
And you felt better. I mean, I was just happy for the guy, you know. And radio is really powerful. And so when Sal brought out that autism thing,
yeah.
And I listened to it because I have a niece, you know, who was just a week apart. My daughter was born on October 30th, and my niece was born on November 7th. And they're the same age. And she can't talk. Mm. And I look at my sister sometimes and just bothers the heck out of me.
Yep.
She can't even walk.
Oh,
and because, you know, it's just something that's more touchy. And to get back to the power of the radio, I was not a big fan of the morning show, like, Woman Cotton, I mean, Unpensable, Woman Gio. And one day Gio brought out this point that his wife called out the fire department. And that was a funny story. Mm-hmm. So I gave it a chance, started listening to them more. And, you know, no show is like your show. You're on Sal's show. No show is like it. The next thing to Mike and my dog. And I mean this. I'm nobody, you know. I love the callers. Radio is really powerful. So I'm going to get back to my Mets point, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys give a lot of credit to David Stern, who has not done anything in his life. What, if you give me a minute, please. Milwaukee Brewers, what have they ever won? I mean, sometimes you kill Brian, how you call it, the Yankees GM.
Sometimes. That's all I do.
Cashman won championship. But when people say Stern and the way he's behaving with Steve Cohen's money, this guy has not done anything in his life, right? The team that eliminated the Brewers was what? The Mets. And who hit that big home run? Pete Alonso.
Hold on, Coco. I'm not going to hang up on you. Hold on. Let's have a little back and forth. So, all right, fair enough. You're not a big David Stearns fan. By the way, neither am I. I'm just trying to be fair because the first year was good. The second year was awful. Let's split the difference. Let's see what year three brings. But you also have to understand, his run with the Brewers was a whole hell of a lot more successful than any recent 4 or 5 year run of the Mets.
BT, let me ask you a question. What is the ultimate goal?
Won championship.
When is the last time the Brewer went to the NLCS?
I don't know. Never once. I don't know. I forget.
Okay,
exactly.
That's my point. That's my only point.
What?
You get rid of the guy. BT, give me a second. I got another point.
Go ahead.
You get rid of the guy who, when he's flipping, could hit 30 home runs. I mean, what is wrong with this guy? I'm buying two Pete Alonso jerseys from the Oriole, by the way. And
no, you're not. No, you're not.
No, I am. I am.
Nah, I don't believe you.
Number 25, I'm buying it. Can I make this point?
I don't believe you.
Charles, can I make this point, BT?
Yeah.
About the Jet, right? I know they got rid of the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They should take a great look at the OC, too. I don't think this guy's, I don't think he's in. I don't think he's it. You know, and for Glenn, if he wants to stay as a head coach, he has to take a real close look at the OC, too. Because he might get fired if he doesn't. I don't think that guy is good at all.
Yeah. I don't. Coco, can I be
told?
You want to co-host? Coco, I got to be totally honest with you. Thank you for the call. I have no interest in talking about the Jets right now. I literally have zero. Zero. Now, what I will do on Friday, I said this at the top of the show, I have never heard the whole thing. I've heard snippets. I'm going to replay the unkillable speech as a way as I bounce. I'm going to play that at some point on Friday. Dove, what was Stearns' first year in Milwaukee in any capacity? Exactly?
He was hired in September 2015.
Okay, so he was brought there in 2015. Now, let's see. At that point, the Brewers were awful. 68 wins, 73 wins. Then they became a little bit more competitive. Now, I know that he wasn't in charge right away, but
he was the GM right away.
Are you sure?
He replaced the retiring Doug Melvin.
He was the general manager when he was 29?
He can be the youngest general manager in the history.
I know, but he was 20. I think he was a little bit older. Okay. All right, my bad.
I think he was actually 30, but
wow.
That's
okay. So you say, well, what did he do in Milwaukee? Well, look at what he inherited. And then look, and by the way, this year's team went to the NLCS. Now they got swept, but how many fingerprints are on this Brewers team that won 97 games that were from David Stern? Not all of them, because he left 2 years ago, but some of them. And then the year before that, 93 wins. And then the year before that, 92 wins. The year before that, rough year, 86 wins. Then 95. I mean, come on, guys. 96 wins in 2018. They lost the NLCS 4-3. They were a game away from the World Series with a moderate payroll. So I just don't think you're being fair. You could split the difference and say, I don't like this guy. I don't think he's operating well in a big market. I don't think the transition so far seems like he's a big market GM. I know Joe's been saying that and others have said that, and that's fine. I respect that. And there's enough early signs to say that without sounding like a raving, unfair lunatic. But to not give the man credit for what he did in Milwaukee, while it's not putting pennants on in your stadium or banners in your stadium, he still did it in Major League Baseball. And what he's doing now, to the chagrin of some of you, because you're losing players that you're really connected to in Pete and Nimmo and Diaz, and I might even be Lindor next. I won't be stunned. What he's doing is he's stripping it down and building it the same way he built it in Milwaukee. Better defense, more athleticism, top-flight pitching, good bullpen. And you hope, the hope here, is that it's accented with the checkbook. And by the way, that was last year with Soto, although that was a Cohen thing. I'm not giving Stearns credit there. I got to see a little bit more before I bury the guy. I just have to. Let me get Steve in Fairport on the fan BT. What's happening, Stevie?
Hey, BT, if you give me a minute, I'd like to say a quick goodbye and then ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Tried to call last week, obviously very hard to get through. But, not to get serious here, but I'm a single dad, put my son through Boston College. Now I'm trying to put him through law school.
Wow.
Very hard job, a lot of stress, but every day for the last few years between 11 and 1 o'clock, I'd hop in my car here in upstate New York, and when the sun was out, which was damn rare, I'd open the sunroof, get into a parking lot, grab a soda, and I'd listen to you guys, and it got me through the day.
Wow.
I think that's as much thanks as one person can give to others. You guys really helped. Thank you.
You are welcome. I've got great respect for BC. My sister went to Boston College. They would have no part of me. They did not want me, but they did want my sister.
God, Chestnut, there's no nicer place than Chestnut Hill.
Hill's awesome. Really? And a single dad, I don't know the circumstances. You don't need to tell us, but God bless you, man. It sounds like you're running the race the right way. Atta boy, Steve.
Well, you pay it forward. He's going to do that someday.
Amen.
Okay, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Social media, television, radio in general.
Yeah.
I believe these phones are going to be the downfall of mankind. Yeah. But besides that, let's take a look at Jackson Dart. Had you and I gone to a ball game 20 years ago, and let's say Dart was playing at the time, and he threw the interception he threw last week against Washington inside that was meant for Jalen Hyatt,
uh-huh.
You know, we'd be sipping a beer. We'd talk about, man, it just doesn't seem like him. You know, we'd wonder about it. We'd let it go. To the good, a few days later, I can pick up my phone, go to a Baldy breakdown, who, by the way, I wish I had Baldy traveling around with me and he just broke down my life, you know, a half an hour at a time. The guy's
he's
brilliant.
Awesome. Baldy's good. He's a winner. So, great.
He breaks down that pass and he shows what an absolutely horrific route Hyatt ran on that thing. And you know, all of the, now I look differently at Jackson Dart. Really wasn't his fault. Put the ball where it needed to be. Had Hyatt planted his foot outside the way he was supposed to and made a more radical cut,
yep.
It would have been a so I knew that through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the bad side of it. 20 years ago, if you and I were at that same ball game and you turned to me and you said, hey, if we get the number one pick, what would you think about, you know, maybe we draft one of these quarterbacks? We trade
Dart.
We treat Jackson. That stays between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody comes up with one of those harebrained ideas, and I'm seeing it all over social media. And to me, I don't think there's any way in hell the Giants are thinking about that. But if I'm Jackson Dart, and I hear, and I'm not blaming McGonagall, he was talking about mm-hmm. yes or no,
yep.
But I hear it being discussed, you can't tell me that that doesn't affect Jackson Dart negatively. So my question is, long-winded,
yep.
Occasionally I'll have to step back and I have to say, dude, you know, go grab a beer, hit a golf ball, kiss a girl, stop looking at your phone for 20 minutes.
Amen.
And look at the world rationally. Did you ever, because of what you and Sal do, ever feel like you might be contributing to a, I don't know, I guess an overemphasized view one way or another that might affect the ball player? Does that question make sense?
It makes total sense. Like a what we present, it leads to a heightened intensity and speculate.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to unpack that for a second, but I want to say goodbye to you, Steve. You sound like my kind of guy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
God
dude.
Bless you. If you're ever upstate, take you golfing. I'd love it.
Listen, I'd be in the woods all day finding my ball, so bring 10 Titleists. I'm going to need them, all right?
You got it.
Thank you, Steve. That's a good question. I mean, listen, guys, social media is what it is. I do think that there's a point where you transition from caring to not caring what people say about you and what people write about you. I you just can't live your life that way. I don't know why this came up within the last week or so, but I was very honest with you guys. Like when I started, when social media started, it would affect me. I'm like, man, here I am pouring my, and listen, certainly certain people liked what I was doing, but there's a world full of haters out there, the other side of the coin. And usually it's the vocal minority that are the meanest, you know, and the most mean spirited and also the most anonymous because they're wimps. But anyway, that would hurt me. And I don't know that it ever really impacted me on the air, but when you're like a young broadcast, and I can only bring this to what he's saying about Jackson Dart, like a young quarterback, a young broadcaster, whatever, a young actor who gets their first chance at a movie and he's just crushed and they pour their heart and soul into it, but they're crushed by the public. And, you know, that hurts. When something's your life work and, you know, it's not appreciated, you know, is that the best feeling in the world? Of course it's not. That's why when you guys say the good things that you say, it does feel good. I'm not gonna front. I'd much rather be liked than not. But I do think what happens when you turn the corner and transition and are truly able to get separation from caring about what people, I don't want to say think about you because I definitely want to be thought of as a good person. I'm talking about, that's life. But the cesspool of social media, I don't care. I don't care. And I think somebody like Jackson Dart, who's, I mean, a million times higher profile than me, obviously, I think he's probably even more used to it. Yeah, I think his ability to separate from that stuff came a lot earlier in life because that's all Jackson Dart knew. I mean, when I was in high school, No phones, none of that. College, no phones, none of that. Barely had websites. So, you know, I mean, not that anybody's writing about Marist baseball, but if I go 0-for-4 with three punch-outs, you know, I go back to my dorm room, I have a dip, play some Sega with my buddies, maybe have a beer that night if I don't have a game the next day, and I could just kind of wallow in a game that sucked without the whole world chiming in, you know? But I think you build up an exterior and a callousness, and it really doesn't bother me. And I don't think it bothers him, because that's all he's known, you know? So he didn't really have to transition, because it was always a part of his world. You know, it's funny, too, like when FAN put out that clip, the last clip of Sal saying goodbye, and obviously I was in it, but that was really his moment. Ours as a show, but his as a full-time employee here at the Fan, and that's why I really laid out, because I wanted him to have his moment. You know, I don't really read many comments, but I dove into some of those. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. I told you that. Just to kind of see, like, hey, man, is this, like, was... Did you guys feel this show? Were we appreciated? Did we connect? Did we connect to the soul of the New York sports fan? And my instincts have always been pretty good. Just like my instincts 3 months ago, I knew Carton was coming back. I knew it. Instincts. And I did read the comments, some of them, and it really felt good. But there were some comments. And I just don't understand this type of... Now, thankfully, it doesn't bother me. But back in the day, it probably would have, and other people probably bothers. Like, how does somebody go through something so public? Like, it's not like we lost our job at a law firm. We lost our job on the radio. We found out on the radio. Written about everywhere. New York Post, Barrett Media, I mean, awful announcing. Everybody talk... Like, you know, is that fun? No. It's not fun. But you deal with it like a man. That's how you deal with it. And some of the comments, not many, because we did feel the love, and man, do we appreciate that. But there were some people who wrote, you know, with these stupid infantile gifs, enjoy, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out, unemployment line, you know, a picture of a homeless person, and I'm not making light of that at all, a homeless person on the street, like implying, like, you know, that's our next stop. Like, if that's your first thought to do that, you're just not a good person. You're not a mature person. You're not. And there's a good chance, a really good chance, that you wouldn't have the balls to do that to my face. You wouldn't. So you hide behind your little keyboard, and you peck away at the keyboard like a tough guy, and you're not. You're not. But no, that's, you said that was the caller hung up. That was his long-winded way of asking the question. That's my long-winded way of explaining it. You just, and this applies to anybody, young kids, you know. My kids are young. They're not on social media yet, but as athletes and all the stuff you go through, that's going to be hard to navigate. And I try to impress them. I'll be totally real with you right now. I mean, I just was, but even more. So when I got kicked out of the Little League game, and of course it was in the Post, and of course the morning show's talking about it, and people are talking about it, and I'm on vacation, and we get back from vacation, and I call my son in my office, and I go to the Post, and there's a picture of me, and it's a full article. Not proud of it. I said, you see this, bud? I said, this is what happens when, you know, maybe you do the wrong thing, or this is the world that you're growing up in, especially since, you know, not that daddy's a big shot at all, but, you know, I have a public job. I have a public existence. So if you get in trouble with nine of your buddies doing something stupid, guess who's probably going to be in the article centrally? Probably you, especially if you're a good athlete. You got to understand this. This is the new world. Honestly, I can't stand the new world. There's parts of it that I hate, that I loathe, that I just do not fundamentally agree with, that I never will. The good news is 90-something percent of us are really good people. Flawed, but well-intentioned. So those infantile tweets, peck away, tweet away, don't care. 888-808-1019, BT on the Fan. Dovey, any reads here, bud? What do I got? Nothing. Let's get a quick break, come back, get more calls, back to the sports stuff, get you till 2, then it's Evan Tiki coming up after me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's time for the St. John's Johnny's Report, brought to you by my friends at Sullivan Papain. I met a few of them last night at the game. It was awesome. Not my guy TJ. He was not there, but some people he works with, so it was really good to see him. New York strong, from the court to the community. Remember the name, Sullivan Papain. All right, so 10 games through. Johnny 7-3. They have won the games they were supposed to win. You know, I did a long St. John's segment before, so I'll just kind of pick and choose a little bit here. Obviously, DePaul. Yeah, he's supposed to win that game. They were big favorites. I don't think they covered. Not that St. John's cares about that, but they were like 17-point favorites, I think. They won by 13 either way. Darling was really good. Now, Darling's a player who I really like, and you watch him, and he was a Big Sky Player of the Year. And you come here, and you just count another guy amongst, you know, 9 or 10 terrific players because they've got that deep of a roster, that deep of a rotation. Last night was an important game, not only for him, for St. John's, because he has at least got to be a little bit of a threat to put some threes in. He did. He scored, what, 17? He's a defender. He's tenacious. So, you know, he was going to play anyway when he subs for Ian Jackson at the point. But now you can maybe do some more things with him, which is great. And I still think that some of these new players, I think Sellers has been very good. Last night aside, he was kind of quiet. He's been one of their most consistent offensive players. Hopkins has gone a little quiet the last couple of games. I'm curious about that. Zuby had, what, 5 blocks last night? And before that, he had 16 in 2 games. So the front court is strong. Sannon's starting to find the stroke. Obviously, Ian Jackson is an NBA talent. He's a stud. He's not there yet as an NBA player, but he's a stud. And now you get more tests here. You got Kentucky coming up. And then you got Harvard. I'll be doing the Harvard game with Mink. That's the 23rd in Carneseca. And then, boom, you know, it's New Year's Eve, that Wednesday, an 8 p.m. tip against the Hoyas, and then we're right into the Providences and the Butlers and the meat of the season. So basketball season, obviously, upon us. Maybe I'll try to get Rick on the show Friday. Maybe I'll try to do that. And again, this Johnny's Report brought to you by Sullivan Papain, New York Strong, the court to the community. Remember the name, Sullivan Papain. Let's get back to you guys here. How about Jason in Somerset? What's up, Jay?
What's up, BT?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, listen, man. You kind of took the wind out of my sail before I said you didn't want to talk about the Jets. I only had 2 quick points about it.
Go ahead. Listen, of course, I got you. Go ahead.
All right. I listened to Evan and Tiki also, and there was 2 quick points. One was the take that oh my God, I just draw a blank.
Was it about, what was it about? I can't possibly guess. That's a pretty random.
Bart Scott.
Okay.
About having Bart Scott as the defensive coordinator.
I love Bart. I mean, I did TV with Bart for a couple of years. Bart's the man. He's a great dude. But he's never been a defensive coordinator. So I'd rather get him in the building and, you know, linebackers coach, work your way up. I'm not saying he can't do the job, but you can't roll the dice with this next hire. Wilkes was a colossal fail by Glenn. You got to nail the next one.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to see Martinez, man. He had a great preseason. I think he had a good preseason. Uh-huh. And I want to see him. I want to see what he was about. You know, he won that championship with the XFL or whatever that's called.
Yeah, I don't think he's a quarterback. I don't even know what it's called there. The secondary lead there, Jay, thanks for the call. Yeah, good college player. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. I'd rather see Brady Cook. They just cut him. They just waived him from the practice squad, the Jets did. I think they signed him to back up Cook because Fields and Taylor were both hurt, obviously. Yeah, I do want to see. I don't know what Garrett Wilson's status is. I want to see a game with Garrett Wilson and A.D. Mitchell and Mason Taylor and Breece Hall. I just want to see one or two games like that with Brady Cook. Like, I want to see. He looked okay to me. It's early. I get it. It's the Jets. Probably not going to work out. Understood. But I'd like to see that. Let's go out to L.A. What's up, Sean? You're on the Fan. How you doing?
Hey, B2.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm sorry to hear about the show. I was a big fan of it. And I know it's like climbing Mount Everest for you. You finally, you know, got your slot. And then they're kicking you down at base camp. But, you know, keep pushing forward, man. And I'll listen to wherever you're going.
I fought to get here, and I will fight to get something bigger.
Yeah, definitely keep your head down and keep pushing forward.
I'm good, man.
Don't let it get to you.
I'm good.
Just want to talk about the Yankees for a sec. You know, I tried to get through when the season ended and you were talking about accountability. And when's this front office going to be held accountable? You know, it's like there's no direction and it's not moving forward either. You know, not to you know, piggyback on what I was just saying about you, but it doesn't seem like this team's moving forward towards like an ultimate goal. I mean, I don't understand what's going on with the Bellinger thing, you know, and the prospects that we've developed in the past 20 years with Cashman, like, who are they? You know, Judge?
Yeah.
That's all you've got in 20 years?
Well, Ben Rice, I think there's not many, but Ben Rice, I think, is a phenomenal young hitter. So he's one of them. It's a short list, dude.
Yeah, jury's still out on that one, but
yeah,
it's just like I just don't know when Hal is going to hold these guys accountable, and it's kind of frightening because now he's kind of like he's backed himself into a box. He's got all these bad contracts, and now Hal's saying, hey, you got to stay under $300 million, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the $300 million cap, but you've got to have a plan, and you got to spend that money right, and I don't see these guys doing it. I don't see Cashman doing it, and I don't see the front office guys, you know, developing the right talent. And then the guys that we do have, you're holding on to them until they're worth nothing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very strange plan from Cashman here. It feels like he's got a job for life, Sean. Thanks for the call. And that's honestly how it feels. You say, when is Hal going to hold him accountable? I don't know. Never? I mean, that's a possibility. Maybe never. I mean, we've been having some pretty loud, pretty raw conversations about Brian Cashman for a while. And nothing's really changed. Nothing's changed from, you know, in terms of who's making the decisions. Listen, I do think that the Yankees were, like, they didn't get the memo about how the game was shifting. And they were still kind of holding on to that, let's go get the mashers and the big home run guys and Stanton and do this and pair them up with that. I think part of the reason why the Yankees are in a slower state of transition than we would want them to be in is because, number one, they were late to the party. I do think they realize they've got to do things different. I do think there's a bit of an awakening within Cashman and his baseball theories and thoughts, right? Because you saw that after the World Series a couple of years ago, he went out and he got a different defensive team. You know, McMahon at third base. Obviously, you know, I mean, Grisham's a good outfielder. Bellinger's a terrific outfielder. Judge, terrific outfielder. You know, like, the defense got better. It's not perfect, obviously. Still a little sloppy on the bases. Jazz on the pop-up in Miami. Wells not knowing how many outs there were. That's on the players. Like, that's not on Boone. Like, you get your head out of your ass. Know how many outs there are. You know, you're a professional baseball player. Even my, you know, 10, 11-year-old kids I coach, they know. Hey, got two. Two. Right, though, that's the voice. That's what I did, though. I flashed the sign. Oh, you got two. Two out. Two dead. Two.
But you flashed the sign.
I'm a third base coach, so I flashed the sign.
I would also blame the coaches there.
What do you mean?
The players not knowing how many outs there are.
Well, yeah, no. Well, first of all, you know, I'm on a little league field. They are at Yankee Stadium with a scoreboard the size of a building. Look up and see how many outs there
are. There's no downside to the third base coach, to Rojas, or the first base
coach. Yeah.
Putting those same two fingers up, reminding them there's two outs.
I know, by the way, I agree, but you're also implying that they don't do that. Now, I only do that when the kid's at second. Like, when the kid's at first, the first base coach does it. When the kid's at third, I tell him. But when the kid's on second, that's when I throw out the coach voice. No, but I would imagine that the Yankees coach say, hey, you got one out here, ball hit on the right, some freeze, whatever, for a line drive, freeze, you tag in, this guy's got a rag arm in left, this guy's got a rocket. I mean, you know that because of the scouting. But no, of course you tell them. But if the player doesn't listen, it's not the coach's fault. Coach's going to get some heat, but the player's got to know. Either way, the Yankees, to me, have gotten better defensively and better on the bases. And I think that Cashman now knows that he's got to do things a little differently, actually a lot differently. But you can't fully implement that new baseball mindset when you've got some contracts that are still holding you back. And not so much the money, more about the lack of being able to free up the DH spot, like with Stanton. We love him, but it's over. That's it. I'm done. I mean, he's got the no trade. If he would ever waive it, go. And I love Big G. Respect. Massive respect to that guy. But he's holding them back from being a better, well-rounded team. Care what anybody says. You know? And,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think once he's gone and you don't have that impediment, that obstacle to DH spot, well, now you could do things a little bit differently. And then I think you'll see the new vision, you know, take root a little bit more. But they're still kind of in between is what I'm saying. 888-808-1019, BT on the fan here. All right, so this is the last day that Dove and I will work together full time. I already said my piece. It's a good man right there. It's a man of honor. That's a man of intelligence, and I'm going to miss you, Dove. So happy Hanukkah tonight, all that good stuff. Have a great time, man. Really, you're a station legend. So you deserve, because you're going out as well, yeah. December 31st. You'll correct. Have time to say goodbye in your own way, but I want everybody to know how much I respect you and the stuff that you do, even with some of the wrong information and maybe some of the wrong phones, songs. Got to get that last shot. No, just kidding. All right, so Dove is the best. We've got the BT and Sal live show coming up. You guys want to get tickets? They have gone fast. I don't know how many more will be left, but there's definitely some. All right, yesterday was a very good start. Go check out my social media stuff. There's a live link to Ticketmaster. It's going to be me and Sal. Aaron Boone's going to be out there. Food, booze, awesome venue, Red Bank. It's great. Jerry's been to this venue a lot. I think Jerry might even come because he's not too far from there. But Jerry's been there a lot. He said it's just awesome. So we cannot wait. We're going to let it rip. And hopefully you guys will join us and have a lot of fun, do a little celebrating. Let me get Angel in the Bronx. Or is it Angel? Angel, what's happening, bud?
BT, good afternoon, my brother.
You.
First off, I'm glad, you know, I have the opportunity to talk to you before you leave on Friday. As you already know, one door closes, another one opens. I have no doubt that you'll be welcome with open arms wherever you go. And as I told you in the past, we've talked once, I'm a big fan of your vernacular. I love the way you talk about sports, and it will truly be missed. It will be missed on the fan for sure. I can't wait to listen to wherever you got to go or wherever you're going to land.
Thank you, brother.
With that being said, let's talk about these Metsies, huh?
Let's go.
First off, the Polanco, doesn't make sense to me, that move. He's not a good defender. He's been a negative defender. If you look at his baseball savant page in the fielding section, he's a negative fielder. No matter if you put him in second base, shortstop, he's never played first base. So DH, he's not even sniffing Pete's numbers. And now with this recent move, Weaver, are you kidding me, dude? Like, let's be for real there. Like, he sucked so bad this past season. He was not clutch when he needed to be and was unpitchable during the postseason. Now, I'm not saying that he can't be good, but he showed he can. But as a diehard Mets fan that just lost three of their biggest stars for reasons X, Y, and Z, this doesn't convince me that the Mets are going to make the playoffs this season. I don't know, man.
Playoff team now. This is actually one of the worst teams in baseball roster-wise. I really believe that. I know they're going to round out the staff, so I don't think that they start the season where they are right now. I mean, that is definitely the bad news. The bad news is the Mets are, you know, they could go from 89 to 83 to sub 81. Maybe get our buddy back on the phone, talk about hitting 500, playing 500 ball. Confused us all before, get him up. But they're going in the wrong direction. A couple of steps back, I think, eventually to take a massive step forward. And while that could, you know, result in some arduous trying times, just remember, you always have the memories. You always got the memories of the great Keith and Gary. Come on!
Come on!
Little Doc. Little Ray Knight. Hojo platoon at third base. Little Rafael Santana playing third base for you. Little Wally Tuffle over at second. Little Mookie Lenny. You got the memories. You got the memories. You never know. You know, so if the winter continues to treat you in a dark matter, watch, you'll sign Bellinger today. Just remember, you can always go to the old VHS tape and you can dust it off and you can throw this in and you can make the time move a little quicker for you, just in case things don't get better for the Mets these days. All right, so thank you very much. All right, let's get back to you guys here. I love this song. You know what? I like the song. Steve's in Bayside. What up, Stevie?
What's up? Let me tell you a quick story about your point about social media. Former Mayor Ed Koch used to have a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
He used to tell the story.
Oh, yeah. By the way, one of the absolute best mayors ever. I mean, what he did, right? The sanitation strike. Koch was a great mayor.
Yes, I totally agree. He used to tell this story about the first time he met Ronald Reagan, President Reagan. It was when the tall ships were coming in down the South Street Seaport, and they were both going to be on a podium and, you know, greeting the crowds and stuff like that. And so they go up there, and there's thousands of people cheering. And Reagan says to him, look at that guy in the orange shirt over there, because there's one guy in the crowd that's flipping him off and cursing him out and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And Koch busts out laughing because he was the same way. Here's thousands of people cheering.
Yeah.
And all he could focus on was that one guy.
Yeah.
So my point about social media, don't forget the thousands of people that are cheering for you. Okay?
Yeah. And so I'd say sometimes it's hard to it's easy to forget that. But no, I mean, I just worry about the young kids. That's really, I mean, once the adult mind, in all sincerity, Steve, once the adult mind is shaped, I think you're equipped to deal with this. Not that it can't hurt you. Not that it can't hurt your feelings or make you say it could, because we're humans. But it's the undeveloped young minds getting exposed to the harsh hate that a lot of people spew. That's what worries me. Not the adults as much.
Yeah, I get it.
You know?
Well, anyway, I called about Bellinger. Mm-hmm. I think that we shouldn't forget about Bellinger, that he was salary dumped on the Yankees in 2024 from the Chicago Cubs. I don't, you know, when you're saying the Yankees can't miss out on Canvas, I don't want to go past 4 or 5 years with Bellinger.
You're going to have to.
I mean, if the market, I know, and I know that that means that if he's going to get sick somewhere else, then I'm going to lose the player, and I would just deal with that. And, you know, it might be through the trade market. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, letting the kids play.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have, you know, you take all these calls about the bad contracts that the Yankees have on the books, and I think you're setting yourself up for the next one.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Steve, it's a pretty interesting way of looking at it. Thank you for that call. I think that's the first Mayor Koch reference on the show. Though, if you remember Mayor Koch, I remember seeing video. Well, no, it was a documentary. I think it was called Koch.
How am I doing?
Yeah. And, I mean, this guy had balls of steel, man. He was, I don't know the exact year, and I don't even remember it in real time, obviously, but 79 maybe, 70, something like that. The sanitation strike, and, like, the city was on fire. The city was a mess, and Times Square was just a cesspool of you-know-what. And this guy takes his megaphone, and I think he was walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, and he was basically imploring people to follow him and, like, showing real leadership. I mean, Koch was, he was good, man. He got a lot done. But the thing about Bellinger, that's an interesting point that I think could apply to an extent. Because you're right. We have been yelling and screaming and taking a million calls about Stanton and this and the bad contract and that. Well, the difference is, yes, 6 years, he's not really worth six, but that's the price of business. Ideally, you get 4 or 5. Not going to happen if you want him. So if you want him, he's going to have to be six. But he's going to age more gracefully. I mean, and even when he's no longer an above-average outfielder, you can put him at first base. And he's probably going to even be more nimble than Rizzo was at the end. Because Rizzo in his prime was never the athlete that Bellinger is now, even at the age of 30. So not the same exact thing, but I get it. I know what you mean by that. Zach is in Brooklyn, last one of the day in all probability. What's up, Zach?
Hey, BT, big fan of yours. Just wanted to get on one quick Yankee, one quick Jet point, diehard Yankee and Jet guy like you.
Let's go.
First, I wanted to start with a plan. Like, I think you trade Jazz if you're not going to extend him. One guy I'd love to replace him would be Bo Bichette, bring a little bit more balance. Guy could obviously provide some contact and a little bit of power.
Uh-huh.
Let Belly walk to the Mets and then maybe trade for a pitcher. And then I'd keep him at second and then hopefully shortstop. You got Cabby and Volpe this year and maybe Lombard comes up next year. What are your thoughts on that?
I actually said that. You know, that was part of the plan. I don't think that they'll do it, but like say if they miss out on Bellinger, well, and then what you could do is like let's say that Volpe starts to hit enough where you're like, all right, we want to keep him around here, but we don't love him at shortstop. And Lombard really is ready. Well, yes, you could bring Lombard up, and then you just now McMahon's contract is up at that point. Now he's gone. Now Bichette goes over to third, and in theory, you got Volpe going to second. I mean, that's a lot of things that would have to happen. I think it's a very sensible baseball plan myself. Yeah, I said it the other day.
I agree. And then with the Jets, what are your thoughts? I like Mendoza. I just think this defense stinks.
Terrible.
I want to keep those picks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep those picks. I really like Dante Moore at 5 or maybe even a Darian Mensah with that Colts pick or high-end second. I think you need those picks to rebuild. Look at all the really good teams in the NFL. They fell through the draft.
So, yeah. I really like Mendoza, Zach, and thank you for the call. Oh, the official end of the show. Am I giving up all those picks for Mendoza? That's a lot. Either way, we've got one more day to hit it. That day is not tomorrow, at least in terms of, you know, this time slot, all that stuff. That day is not tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. All right? Moose will be filling in. I am back on Friday, and we're just going to let it rip, man. We'll see what happens Friday. We're going to have a good time. Get loose. End on a high note. I've enjoyed it. You guys know that. So, good job by the Knicks. Hal, wake up. Do not let the Mets swoop and take Belly. Otherwise, I'm going to have to light you up before I leave the door. Guys, have a great rest of your day. See you on Friday. Evan and Tiki next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.